Hey everyone, hope your day is going amazingly well. Yurit Hezips here for CSM Practice. Thanks for joining me for another episode where we always have brilliant guests that come in and generously share from their experience and their expertise. And today I decided to invite Daniel Coulet, who works at Click, and he was one of the finalists for the Customer Success Excellence Awards in 2023 for the US. In the last 5 years that he's been with Click, he increased the NPS score by 125%.
Yes, our CSAT increased by more than 30% as well.
Also, he moved so many customers from human touch to actually relying on digital assets so that there's more digital engagement and self-serve is much more amplified, to the tune of moving it from 400,000 transactions online in 2018 to over 40 million digital touch points in 2023. He also launched and scaled not only the customer support, but the CSM team, increased adoption as well as the renewal rate. Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to share that journey with us. I think it's such an incredible story.
Thank you, Yurit. As you know, customer success is a team sport. So I'm here today and I'm happy with the progress we've made so far.
Maybe you can share a little bit about your team. How large is it? What kind of clients do they work with? And kind of like, what's the culture like?
So team is about 300 people across 3 geos, APAC and US. We are a tech company. We integrate data from different places. That's one use case. And then two, we make this data available to people so they can use it and make better decisions. And that's what we call data literacy. From a pure market standpoint, I mean, we are in healthcare, in financial, in retail, consumer, and many organizations, especially finance, HR, and mostly businesses are using data integration and data analytic tools.
For those who don't know, Click is a business intelligence solution company. So obviously you analyze data, you empower companies to make data-driven decisions. And as such, I think the customer success team is a bit more challenged because they have to work with companies all over the world from all sorts of businesses. And within each company that is actually a client for Click, you also work with multiple teams on multiple potential outcomes. I think that makes it super complex. And yet, here you are, you and your team, obviously, increasing NPS score, decreasing cost of serve significantly with these self-serve initiatives. What was the state like when you just joined Click? I think it was in 2018. And what were some of the initiatives you decided to put in place?
Click made a decision that customer success was important to them. I mean, our investor, and they made an investment in people first. We build a sequence of events. My boss always wants to keep things simple. So we started with a clock, 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m., 12 p.m., which is 1 p.m. onboarding, 3 p.m., you get in production. 6 p.m., you verify that your customer is engaged. And then at 9 p.m., you are in a renewal. And we align the entire organization, you're in support, sales services, and so on, with this clock. And that was very compelling for us. And we educated our people with this. And as you can see, there is nothing that hard to understand. I understand it. And as an individual, I look at this box and I say, am I on the top right, so top left? And I know what I have to do. Two is to align with our responsibility as a CSO organization. At the end of the day, we want all our customers to renew and we want them to upsell. So what is that you're doing in your organization to avoid these customers to basically not adopting your product and another product for them? So we had this customer for life program, and basically my boss is making everyone responsible for customers not engaged with us. I mean, that means that maybe we did something wrong at adoption, or maybe our CSM or digital engagement, whatever it may be, can be a renewal. But someone didn't do something that they say they should be doing. That was a pretty good tool that we use, is what do you have to say with these customers who is leaving Click for whatever reason, and that's a customer for life program, and it's across everyone into our customer success organization.
Amazing. So you launched a customer for life program, you established this clockwork type of journey so that it's very easy for customers and your team to understand where they are in the life cycle and what's the next step that needs to happen and with whom. kind of like create clarity, I suppose, and a little bit of an order around the engagement itself. And we already talked about the impact, quite significant. Click is a 30-year-old company. Here comes Daniel and team and says, no, we need to do things differently. Did you get any naysayers? Was it hard to convince people that, no, we do need to double down on self-serve and ensure that customers reach their outcomes, whatever size they're in?
So to go back to the organization, when you talk about customer for life, just to give an example of getting people accountable for results, for some of our product line, we had an increase of a renewal rate of more than 15 points. And it was like in less than 12 months. It's giving you an idea that the first thing that was done is making people accountable for results. That's one, number one. I think the number two is probably change management. Your ability to drive people into a mindset of it's a day one every day, and that my contribution to result that was maybe good enough yesterday, maybe it will not be good enough for today and probably not good enough for tomorrow. So this idea of pace of change and the fast pace of change has probably been the main recipe for success for CLISC this past 5 years.
You know, a lot of times we think about successful initiatives. I think you hit on the head, like what is the makeup that needs, it's not so much about what are you going to initiate, but making sure you take a pause and think about A, how am I going to drive accountability? Because many of the CS solutions and initiatives that we establish in companies cannot be successful in a bubble. You actually do have to drive accountability, not just by our own team adopting it, but also have other team players in the company adopting and changing into it. Second component is obviously change management. Maybe you could double down on what does it mean accountability? When you do self-serve, you absolutely need to have the support teams, you know, enrollment, as well as maybe even product team. How did you tackle that? Does that mean that you change, for example, team's performance KPIs for the product team or other teams as well?
Absolutely. I think my boss is always saying, well, why people are watching sports is because it's easy to understand who is winning. So it's kind of very simple to say, but when you bring that into our organization, is that as clear, right, to know who is winning in your organization? Probably not, right? So having simple rules about how you measure success of every organization, not with 20 metrics, but probably between 1 and 3 has been as well another change. And making people accountable for the result, where do you want to be in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, is also something that definitely changed. Click. And that's why I talk about every day is a day one, is every day there is a new KPI to achieve and results to achieve. And that's why how we are driving, I mean, our excellence, I think, in the organization. But one of the biggest change we've made is definitely with digital and our transition from, let's say, human-based to kind of a digital approach has been one big step.
Investing in digital customer success, it's a big bet for a large company. I mean, just from the tools that you need to integrate data from various tools, various technologies onto one. It's a multi-year project. It's a big bet. What made you so convinced that this is actually going to work? Maybe you did have some fears when you just got started.
Couple of things. One, you said it. I mean, having an alignment between your boss, and that's what you want to do is align with what a corporation wants to do is definitely something that was a key factor of success. Being able to have quick wins. And to have quick wins, you need to have a coalition who is with you. How you measure success with product management, with R&D, with IT and marketing or key stakeholders is aligning this organization with one KPI or maybe two. And that's, I think, is a recipe for us to success is being able to measure and go one quick win after the other, not in 10 months and not in 6 months, but probably next month, next week. So that's what we are asking people to do.
Daniel, so when you think about the initiatives and your approach for digitizing the engagement with customers, how would you frame that?
3 steps. There are things that maybe the product was not able to do that a product should be able to do. So that's basically an agreement or common goals that we set up with product management, mainly on R&D, about things that needed to be improved, as well as partnership that we build as well with our partner ecosystem about things that we believe should get done by a partner because it's more valuable for them with their own customers. And that's one piece of things that we've done. Our focus for us has been mainly about sharing our knowledge and making this knowledge easy to reach. One is tooling like AI, so tooling like chatbots. A lot of new things have been done there. So we capture both on the knowledge and then the technology to make this information available to users. Last side is privacy, security, and then generative AI. We were making a lot of investment there instead of an article that you have to consume or something you will have to read. So tool is giving you one answer to your question, and it's extremely powerful. But it creates some security problems and privacy problems that we have to overcome.
And you talk about, you know, a lot of these initiatives resulted in an increase of adoption. So from low adoption to high adoption. And then you said, well, then we transitioned into effective adoption. Maybe you could kind of like share with me and everybody that's listening, what is the difference between high adoption and effective adoption? Why was that so important to you to have it as part of your strategy for recent years?
The difference between customer adoption and then user adoption. What the team has been focusing on is that the adoption to be effective, that you have to go to a very granular level to actually understand what your customers are doing. So telemetry are obviously key when you're in SaaS. What you have to keep in mind is that you have to start high level with how much time your users are in your platform and how many times, week or months, they're spending in time in your platform. And then you get into something much more granular, which are what kind of function they are using, what function they are using that make your product stickier. That's a level of a granularity that you have to go through so that you better understand if people are able to achieve their use case. So level after, and we use a TSIA framework for it, is really if people are getting a value from their investment, meaning that you can measure the data they are getting from the product is valuable to them or not. So it's hard to measure. If you measure it not in a perfect way, it's okay, because at least you have a direction. And then we are not at a level of measuring if a customer is reaching their outcome. That's a dream. And that's where we are expect to go. But stickiness first and making sure that the data we are getting is valuable and useful, that's a step we are taking these past 6 months.
Yeah, I kind of want to go over what is a customer journey looks like with this new initiative that you have established. I think you were generous enough to share with me your approach for the Customer for Life program at a high level. And this sort of like dovetails to your clock approach. How was that life cycle impacted as you were going through this transition to doubling down on self-serve and digital engagement?
The fact that you can have these processes very well defined for each step of your adoption, to me, are extremely critical, because then you can start thinking about automation. So you start using your process, you learn about how CSM can have an impact on this particular 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and you learn from it, you document it. Then when you have it on a framework or workflow, right, it's actually easier to understand what product could actually help you automate. We are transitioning this automation more and more into something digital, so we can use people, their value, and use this low-level task with automation.
That's a great approach. Like, if I'm a head of customer success and I want to introduce more digitalization and scalability, step number one, take your entire customer life cycle, pinpoint what are the manual processes that your customers are going through or your team is going through, and then for each, tackle the ones that you want to address first, maybe because they're the heaviest or more critical, what we call moment of truth, and see, can you automate them? Can you make them easier with tools? Identify the tools and then go for it. Once you're done with that, you can choose the next cohort of manual processes and things that you can optimize with automation or with technology.
Exactly.
Is it fair to say that you heavily leveraged your existing investments in Salesforce to automate a lot of the manual processes that your team was having to do?
Yes, if all your processes are actually documented, you understand what value you're getting for these processes and automation, and people have been certified of these processes, so nobody can say, I didn't know, right? Then you can start to automate. The question is how many tools you should be using. You can use, you know, Totango, you can use Gainsight on many other products and Salesforce, right? And different organization could be on different product. So a question is, should we use one product? Maybe not perfect, but everybody is on it. Or should different organization use different product? So vision we have at Qlik is that we should, as much as possible, use one product, which means that everybody has an understanding of what's going on by going to the same product, and the source of truth is in one place, and we choose Salesforce for it. Even if you don't have all your capabilities that maybe Totango, Gainsight, and others have for specific organization, but overall, it's a great tool for everyone.
You know, one of the naysayers for actually doing it in Salesforce, like Salesforce is an extremely capable platform, I would say. But some of the pushback that I hear when some of my customer success teams or clients that are trying to do this is that IT is busy right now with other initiatives and they won't get around to it for at least 2 years. And so every change that you want to make, because there's so many people in the company that are leveraging it or they might have competing priorities, IT is going to push back. Whereas if you do have a CS solution, your team owns it and then you could do whatever you want, however you want, whatever priorities you want.
What you just described is exactly what is happening. So view we have is to keep things simple. And number two, when you talk to IT, and not saying that IT have all the bandwidth just for CSO, right? But if you have your process very well defined and IT really understand why you need A, B, and C to be in Salesforce, they just do it. Because for them, they understand through your workflow, work instruction, that what value they will deliver by spending a week on your change. I think very often IT is reluctant to do something because they don't really understand what value they will create to your organization or customers. If they do, they are motivated to do the change.
You're brilliant at digitizing customer success, but you also mentioned how much work went into elevating support, especially for the lower cohort. We know for a fact, statistics says it, that if support is quite accessible and the support experience is quite phenomenal, then we're going to see an increase in NPS and we're going to see an increase in adoption and an increase in renewals. And again, this would be true for end users, your companies that have a lot of end users, where the CSM can work with all of the stakeholders in the account. You have to rely on digital engagement. So maybe you can kind of share how you took the digital support to the next level and how you're thinking about that.
Telling my team that actually having an interaction with a customer and support language, we say a case. I say a case is a failure. It means that everything else failed. Your adoption failed, maybe your training failed, and your interaction with professional services failed. So somewhere and somehow it failed. So we took this approach and say, okay, the need of interaction is a result 80% of the time of a failure somewhere. We did start with every question that a user will ask need to have one answer, not 20 answers. That means that if you have multiple assets in your company, multiple website, community, documentation, search, and so on, you need to unify all of these search into one so that people get, when they ask a question, you have a company answer, right? Number two, you need to push availability of your people and make them as close as possible to your customers. I'm telling my team that basically when we fail to give this answer to a customer through a chatbot or this search, we have to be available to them in a live chat very, 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 very quickly, right? And most of the time is that a bot will tell us, I mean, I cannot answer this customer's question, please help. And through live chat and not through a very difficult, painful system with case management. We are even pushing more AI tools. Most of the time, they are actually getting an answer and they don't need anybody to talk to us. So as of today, we have million and million and million digital interaction, and we have fewer and fewer need to talk to customers through case management.
I think that's goals for a lot of companies, reduces the cost to serve rate, even well below industry levels, and makes the company more profitable, increases NPS scores. So many benefits. It actually also helps align the team onto one single answer for a question. So the experience is becoming quite consistent. right, let's say I'm listening to this podcast and I was like, Daniel, I'm all in. I want this. Where would you recommend them to start?
You need to have a well-defined vision of where you want to go. And you need to split this vision into a number of steps so that you can deliver an outcome. And this outcome is, as I call it, a quick win. And this quick win has to happen in months and even weeks after you start it. And first of all, is giving trust to your team. Oh, we have a vision, but now I understand my contribution and I can make a contribution and I can see, you know, the results of my contribution that motivates the team, that motivates your bosses, and that motivates your company, and that motivates your customers. If you do it again, people starting ready to believe. Sometimes your coalition, I started with digital with 5 people out of 300. That's not many. And then you go to 6, and then you go to 7. And after 2 years, you have 300. So you don't boil the ocean. You start very simple. You start having win, internal, external.
Quick wins. Who's totally on board with this that can help you make this vision happen? And then I think in the prep talk, you kind of talked to me about train.
My view is that sometimes you want to do things that are misaligned sometimes with what the company wants to do. And it's hard to do. So what I'm doing is that I'm looking at the company like train initiative, and I look at the one that is kind of going in the same direction as me, right? So if you want to go to Miami and there is a train going to New York, I go to New York and then I only have New York to Miami, right? If I can go to Atlanta, it's another step that I can make. If I can jump into this initiative and just add my staff to them so that it doesn't change them too much, but it's adding a little bit more flavor to what they're doing. They welcome me. I go into, you know, the train. I go with them and give them whatever recognition for the work they're doing. Then I jump to another train and I go to Miami like this. I use this way of doing business very often. When I have to create my own train to go from somewhere to somewhere where there is no other train, I know it's going to take a lot of time. I know that I need buy-in from everyone, each team and so on, and I will fight for it. But I do it when I don't have any other choice.
Are there any like books that you found yourself reading as you're implementing these initiatives that inspired you, that gave you great ideas, that you would like to recommend others that are listening to this podcast?
JP Kotter and this 8-step of change management. It's a very simple book, easy to read, and you feel like everybody can do change management. So I would advise people to do it. Book from Donna Weber as well on the onboarding, same thing. When I read the book, I'm like, I can do it. I think it's simple. So I love these books where it's not rocket science. We are not saving people's life. We are not sending rocket to the moon, but it's a lot of steps that are easy to do, but it's all together that makes the complexity, right? So when you have books like that where they can explain to you in a simple way how to do stuff, you learn from it, you learn a lot of stuff, and then you can do big things, but it's a lot of very easy small steps that need to be taken.
Rethinking about customer success, how would you define it? In thinking about the last 5 years, how would you define customer success?
To me, is a team sport, but you have to make it simple because I think we make it way too complex. I think at the end of the day, you need to have few KPIs that you're aligning everybody behind. And then you have to be able to measure easily if you're succeeding or you're failing and if you can learn from it. To me, that's a simple way, and we use OKR at Click, which is, I think, a very simple methodology as well to keep score so that we know if we are going in the right direction, or my boss knows, or we are not going in the right direction, and then we fix it. My view on it is adoption is everything, KPI is everything, keep things simple, not try to overcomplicate things. And I think if you follow markets, what people say, what they are doing and how to do things, at the end of the day, you can be a fast-paced leader in customer success.
Daniel Coulet, you're amazing. To me, you are a winner. Best big love to your team for doing all this hard work and getting to these incredible results in a very tough environment. 30-year-old company, so many type of customers and use cases. This is not easy. So well done. And thank you so much for coming on our podcast to share your journey, your thoughts around it, your frameworks and what works and what doesn't, and even giving us tips.
So thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure.